Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's program is part of a special collection of rebroadcasts as part of the new They Found the Answer series presented by the Good Life Hawaii radio show. Egan Inouye is featured today. As you listen, you may sense a special awareness of your desire to know God in a personal way. If you would like to find out more, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. If you're listening to the show online, just go ahead and click the Get to Know Jesus tab. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this moment with Egan Inouye. Does fighting and faith go hand in hand? The Apostle Paul wrote, "Fight the good fight of faith," 1 Timothy 6:12. Today, we have one of Hawaii's most notable and premier fighters in studio with us. He's also an entrepreneur, business owner, and multi-sport champion. Egan Inouye has not only competed at the highest levels of mixed martial arts, but he has used his skills to better the lives of people wherever he has gone. He is also a man of faith. He's here to share that with us. I want you to know that we have this program because the heart of it really is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. We'd like to say that up front. For you to know his love, for you to know his grace, and you know what? Whatever it is you're going through, whatever challenge you might be facing, whatever difficulty might be in front of you, sometimes we look at it as giant mountains that we have to overcome, but whatever it is, remember that God loves you, he knows you, and he's with you. And if you call upon him, he will help you. He will lift you up. Egan Inouye is a two-time world champion in racquetball. He was invited to be part of the United States Olympic team. He's also earned black belts in, get this now, Taekwondo, Hapkido, Shotokan Karate, Jeet Kune Do, Japanese Jiu-Jitsu, and he has a brown belt in Judo. He won the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu World Championship in the blue belt division. And among many other achievements, he's a businessman. He opened Egan's Training Center. He's also a motivational speaker, a trainer, a coach. Egan is married to Marcia. He has four daughters. Egan, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Now, Egan, you've traveled all over the world. You've seen many cultures. You've tasted the foods, the delicacies of the world. And, of course, your athletic career has taken you places. But tell us, where did you grow up?
I grew up right here in Honolulu in Manoa Valley.
Manoa Valley, you know, in Hawaii. One of the first questions people ask, and they sort of kind of size people up that way. They say, well, what school did you go to?
Yeah, so I actually ended up graduating at University Lab School, but I went to like Manoa Elementary, then I went to Stevenson, then I went to Roosevelt, had a lot of problem there, and then moved over to University Lab School.
Lab School. What about martial arts? Now, we're going to talk quite a bit about that. But how did you get started in martial arts?
I started, actually my grandfather was a black belt in Shotokan Karate. So from when I was 4 years old, I was already into karate, and then I was also competing.
Started competing that early.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Grandpa. Who would you say influenced you most in those growing up years?
I think that my influence a lot was, you know, my grandparents and my mom and dad, both. I mean, they're both, we had two sides, sort of, you know. My mom's, like, real aggressive. My dad's real laid back. So the in-between was right where, kind of like where I felt like I fell.
Was Grandpa who taught you karate, was he on your mom's side? Or
yeah, that's my mom's side.
Mom's side.
Yeah.
So your dad was more laid back.
Yeah, and then so is, you know, my dad's father and mother too, same thing. They were just really laid back too. My mom's side, you know, my grandpa that did karate and his wife, they're really aggressive. They're really, you know, they go for it. They're outspoken. They're
So how do you feel that blend has kind of made Egan Inouye the man that he is today?
I think that the blend's been really good for me. You know, it's gotten me through competition. It's, you know, given me the mental toughness to, to you know, be able to concentrate and be dedicated and have, you know, have that perseverance. And yet on the other hand, I can still make fun of myself and I can still joke around and still have a really good time because I can still be laid back. I can, you know, through the toughest times that I've gone through, I could still go to the beach and just kind of lay there and relax. You know, so I think that's where the two blends are really good for me.
How about your family? Tell us about your, you have a very famous brother too.
Yeah, so I have one brother, and you know, he's actually the one got me started in fighting. And you know, we both grew up playing a lot of sports, and of course he was, you know, people who know my brother know he was the radical one. He was the one that would get into all these street fights, and whereas I didn't. You know, I was like class president. He was like more like the sergeant at arms type. And you know, that's kind of like, you know, we both pulled real different.
Yeah. And how did you guys get started in racquetball? Because he competed at a high level too. He was a champion as How did that come about?
We started it right about, well, I started racquetball at 16 years old. And my mom took a course at University of Hawaii, and it was a racquetball course. And there was a place called the Oahu Athletic Club on, down by Ward.
Okay.
And that's kind of how we started, actually. And for me, I got interested because the first time my mom brought me on the court, she whooped up on me really bad. And I was 16, so, you know, you're thinking you're tough and you're like this good athlete playing basketball, baseball. And, you know, you hit the ball already. I already hit the ball harder than my mom did, but she always just would beat me. So that was actually my first drive for racquetball because I was like, got to beat my mom.
Okay, that was the start.
That was the whole start.
Mom had the finesse.
Oh, yeah. Mom had the, you know, she had the angles down. She took the course. She understood how to play the game, and, you know, that's just.
Now, you know, you have a very, very calm disposition, you know, and I know a lot of fighters have a lot of them. Some of them are kind of, you know, all riled up seemingly. But did you have a competitive edge in you, that quiet fire that burned in you from when you were like young, like?
You know, I think
16 or earlier.
I think I did. You know, I've always been competitive because even like family picnics, we'd have running races. If I lose, I cry.
You're right.
Right? Or I get all teary, and you know, being poor sport comes with it. You know, I haven't always been the best of, you know, a good sport guy. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, I'm not that good of a loser, but when I lose in things, you know, I'm not happy, but you know, now at least I totally understand, and I understand. I'm a lot older.
So, okay, let's go from racquetball to mixed martial arts. How did that happen?
You know, it's funny because racquetball and mixed martial arts, like a lot of people ask me that same question because it's like it doesn't have any relation. But what I always tell people, there are a lot of relations. One is the focus, concentration, the goals that you set, and not only the goals that you set, but how you get there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of like the mental part. The physical part, it's still about training, right? The skills is different, so you got to still learn the skills. And if you understand how important technical aspects of whatever sport you're in, how important they are and how long it takes to master it. And for me, it's all about repetition I've always believed that the more you do it, the better you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't waste any time. So when I switched into BJJ, which was next, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, mm-hmm. that one kind of goes right hand in hand with MMA or mixed martial arts, right? Okay. But that's really technical. But what I did was I made sure my number counts are high. You know, so I would do things over and over and over. And, you know, because of racquetball, I understood that. So that's kind of how the transition. I know that the sport was completely different, but in the racquetball court, there's a lot of mental games. When you get to like the world class level mm-hmm. of any sport, mm-hmm. it's a lot mental because everybody's a good athlete. Everybody's trained hard. And now it's who's got a tougher mind, who's smarter, who's tougher, who's can persevere through bad times. All of those things are real important. So, you know, when I crossed over, it was just a matter of, you know, just taking it step by step. And you know, I got there in jiu-jitsu. And then I switched over to mixed martial arts and, you know, kind of did the same thing.
Now, tell me about your first competition.
My first competition in mixed martial arts was... I was in Japan. I always cornered my brother. So I worked his corner, which means I was coaching him while he would fight. And he had a staph infection and they're still going to make him fight. And the only way they're going to actually let him out of that fight is if I jumped in and I took that fight. And me not being a fighter, like street fight, throwing punches. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was kind of a big thing for me. You know, I didn't want to do it, but on the same hand, you know, you can't let your brother who's got a fever was in the hospital right before I got into Japan with all these sores, you know, from staff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's how I got started.
And as a street fighter, your brother Ensign, you know, he's growing up, he's getting a lot of fighting reps from the street.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So you stepped in, like you said, you were more of the class president.
Mm-hmm.
How did that affect you when you, of course, you were in shape, ready to go, right?
Yeah.
All the
yeah.
skills in place. But from the mental standpoint, How did it affect you?
You know, for me, like fighting, like when I would watch my brother fight, I didn't think of it as like it was a fight. I would break it all down in my head and I'd be step by step. Mm. And I'm more of like a planner. Like I like to have the technical aspect and have the whole plan. Of course, in sports, nothing ever goes exactly how it's planned.
Mm-hmm.
Just like your life, right? Nothing ever goes like what you think. But when you have a plan, it's easy to just maneuver from one thing to the next. Mm. So for fighting, it was a last minute thing, right? I had to figure out my game plan, how I'm going to beat this guy. I had to look this guy up and figure out what is his game style. And for me, fighting would be, in my mind, the perfect fight would be not needing to hit the guy. He doesn't ever hit me. And I submit him mm-hmm. and make him tap.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that was my whole thing about fighting. I wanted to prove to everyone that you could win fights without hitting.
Mm.
And, you know, I got lucky and I won that fight. And then after that, it's just, you know, just snowballed.
You know, whether you like it or not, we're in conflict, all of us. As you listen, we're talking about the actual art of fighting, the sport of fighting. It certainly has evolved throughout the years from those great boxing matches of the Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier era. But in life, we face challenges and it's vigorous. Sometimes it's exhausting. Sometimes it wipes us out mentally. But at other times, and perhaps even now, there are moments when God, with his grace and his wisdom, can, in the midst of the struggle, perhaps a struggle that you're facing right now, can impart to you hope, not just an emotion of hope, but an idea, a plan, like Egan was talking about, some way to maneuver out in the grappling of life. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Egan Inouye and faith, fighting in faith of a kind that has made a difference in his life. He's going to share with us from his heart what God has done and how he's responded. You don't want to miss it. We're here with Egan Inouye, and God is doing something in your life, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. You're listening to a special rebroadcast program in the series entitled They Found the Answer, presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. To find out more about our show, along with other resources for living the good life, and to find out how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, here's more with Egan Inouye. Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Egan Inouye. You can find out more about Egan at EganInouye.com. That's EganInouye.com. World-renowned mixed martial artist, champion, competed at the highest levels. He is a business owner, entrepreneur, and his services are available in training, coaching. He's a motivational speaker, but today he's here in studio with us, sharing with us heart to heart. Before our break, we're talking about faith, you know, fighting in faith. But what about faith? How does that relate? How does that relate to him? What difference has his faith made? Egan, talk to us a little bit about faith. Maybe give us some background of how it came about. Because, you know, God uniquely processes his relationship with us where we are. Mm-hmm. So tell us.
Well, I think it's like I think about my own self, and I sometimes reflect back and I think, wow, what a change. You know, for me, I think as an up and coming athlete, it would have been so much better for me to have this relationship with God long ago when I was first starting to compete. Because when you lose, it's like, it's a hard thing, because I always thought it was all about me. And it's like, if I lose, it's about me. If I win, it's about me. And I got to work on my own things. And I never really believed that there was something, you know, something else. And I knew there was a God, but I didn't have a relationship with him. So I was more like a science guy. So I was more into sciences. And I had a professor that could basically almost like prove from everything, like where the Bible was written, how it didn't happen, and there was no factual proof. And he was kind of like that. So I was kind of along those lines for a while. And then, you know, as I was competing, there was this one time in my life I was in the courtroom. I was going through a divorce, and the whole divorce started really ugly because I started off with a criminal trial where I was accused of beating her. And the way I found out was I was training, and because I was a fighter, people just assumed automatically. Well, I guess she drove up, or she called the news or something, because one of my friends called me and said, "Hey, Eags, you're in the news at 6. So I was like, "Oh, what for?" He goes, "Oh, because you beat up your wife." And I was kind of like, "Whoa, wait, when did I beat up my wife?" He goes, "Oh, I don't know, I'm going to be in the news." Anyway, long story short, I find myself in a criminal trial in front of a jury and nowhere to go. You know, and it's like at that point in my life, I realized that there's things that are way out of your hand. I mean, like that, there was nothing I could do for myself. I tried to hire the best attorney. I tried to do everything like it's supposed to. But now I'm sitting here in the faith of the jurors and a judge to determine my faith. And the judge had told me beforehand, he goes, "This crime that you've committed, or you might have committed," he said, "if you are guilty, you're going to spend 1 year in prison." And in my head, I thought to myself, wow, I didn't do anything. I'm innocent. And these people that I don't even know is going to determine whether I'm going to go to prison or not. And right at that moment, I started to get nervous. I remember starting to get all sweaty. And I remember my body just starting to like starting to get through this fatigue type feeling. And all of a sudden, I just felt this real calmness. And I didn't quite get what it was. But my wife, the wife I have now, Marcia, she comes from a missionary family. And she would always tell me, you know, we're friends for a while. So we'd talk on the phone. And, you know, every once in a while, she would say something about God or but she never really pushed me to go to church. But I knew she did. She went to church. And it was really funny because I watch her, and then I watch her family. And then I start thinking, wow, that's real interesting, you know, how these people are. And that's kind of what converted me. And then I started putting it together. And then I realized that, you know, a lot of times you have to leave, you know, a lot of decisions in your life, a lot of bad times that you're having, you got to believe in something. And it can't be yourself. You know, you can live your life right, but you still have to believe, and you have to develop this relationship with God, because that's in the end, that determines where you're going to go and what you're going to do.
Now, well, that's heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy. So you come to know that you need God, and this is beyond you, right? Something beyond yourself. How did you come to a place where you begin to understand about the person of Jesus Christ?
You know, for me, it's like I finally decided, okay, I'm going to go to church, right? And every single sermon I walked into, I felt like they're talking directly at me. And that's where I thought to myself, that's not by coincidence. You know, it's like there's, and even with like my science background and my believing all of those things, there's no proof in all of that. You know, and there's a, you know, and what totally convinced me is that, you know, I started praying and I started believing, and, you know, with my girls, every night we start, you know, doing prayer before bed, before we ate. And, you know, you could just feel the strength. I could feel the strength. And that, you know, kept me together that whole time, because I was still fighting. I was working as a pharmaceutical rep. I was having to face people with me knowing in the back of my head that they saw the news and that they think I'm guilty, because people assume that you're guilty no matter what. And because I was a fighter, even more so.
Right.
You know, and I mean, there was a big shame I had. You know, I didn't want to come out of the house. But with this belief and with prayer and believing in God, it gave me the strength to do, you know, to just keep going forward.
So how did it all unfold? What happened?
You know, when I finally decided to just leave it in the hands of the Lord, the final outcome was I have full custody of all three of my girls. And, you know, coming from where I started in a criminal trial and then going through family court and that whole thing, there's no way, like, in 4 years, I could have mentally all the sports, all the training I've ever done, there's no possible way that mentally I could stay sane, still walk a good life, be a good person, treat people right, and do the right things without the faith.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your family. Tell me about Marcia. How did you guys meet? How did you guys get together?
You know, Marcia and I, because I was doing pharmaceuticals, Marcia was doing, she was in the travel industry. We'd see each other, like running through airports. And a couple times we were on the same flights going to the Big Island. And, you know, we just communicated and we kept in touch because she lived on Maui. I lived in Oahu.
Okay.
And then when I started going through all this bad times, and for a long time, she had no idea I was a fighter. And that was one of the things.
She didn't know.
No one knew. Yeah, I tried, you know, unless you followed fighting and you knew Egan, you know, if you're from out of town, you wouldn't know. So Marcia didn't know for, you know, I would say a good 3 to 6 months. She had no idea that I fought. And that's one of the things. It's like, I'm proud that I won all these world titles. But on the same token, it's like, I never really bragged that I was a fighter because I was never real proud of being a fighter. And, you know, just by hearing that term, it just doesn't sound good automatically, right? So, you know, that's kind of how we got together. And then I don't think she would have been interested in me either if I was a fighter too. So, but, you know, long story short, we just kept running into each other. And then when I started going through hard times and she would call me, and it was weird because she would call me at the right times and she would say little things, and, you know, she would take me along to church, and, you know, that's just how it was. And, you know, I started believing. She helped me along the path. And, you know, she started making me think of things. Like, I don't know, she didn't say it to me, but in my head, I started thinking, okay, I got these world titles in racquetball, in jiu-jitsu, MMA. What am I doing with it? God gave me this for something. And I couldn't figure it out. You know, I was going, she said, what a waste. Well, why would I have all of these things? I you know? And so I started thinking, well, she actually said, well, you know what? I think it's made for you to help people. And I go, oh, how is all these world titles going to help people? I'm going to teach someone else how to get world titles? And she goes, no. You're going to help people because through your experiences in life, it hasn't been all wins like everyone thinks. It's been a lot of hard times. You know, one year when I first started trying to be a pro, I didn't win one match. I traveled to 10 different cities throughout the year. We didn't have that much money. So like a lot of people try to help me out and you know, gave me money here. And to come back losing, it was kind of like real shame. Huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So I went 1 year. I didn't win one single game. And, you know, those kind of times, I know if I believed and I had a relationship in God, it would have made it, I would have been so much stronger. And I think I would have been that much more greater of an athlete if I had that faith. Because now I'm at the end of my, you know, I'm finished competing now, but I feel like what I can do to help people now, like my boot camps that I'm doing, I feel like this is where I belong.
It's almost like, you know, God has taken you through a process, and a good part of the process, you didn't even know how God was working in it. You know, as far as you were concerned, it sounds like it was void of God. It was you doing it, you know, with the support base that you had. But now, in hindsight, you're looking back and you can see the hand of God working and allowing not only for you to experience success, but the disappointment, the failure, to bring you to a place where, from what it sounds, it's like he's really created a platform for you to do his work, for you to serve him. And when we come back, I'd be very interested, Ian, and I think our listeners would be too, to hear what next, you know? So you brought us this far, you've shared, what is it that God has placed on your heart? Because sometimes when people are listening, and we come back from our break, we've got to get into this because our listeners are going through stuff. They might even be in the middle of the discipline. They might be in that 1 year period where people have invested in them and it ain't happening. And they're coming back tail between the legs thinking, what? Did I lose my way? Am I crazy? You know? But listening to you, there's a purpose. And it's not man's purpose. It's God's purpose. Whether you know the Lord or not, He loves you and He has a plan and purpose for your life. But you gotta find that out. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinena Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. A rare moment is when you can sit with an accomplished person and hear them say things that most people would never know. And today is one of those times when you and I can listen to somebody who is sharing things deep from his heart. It's a special rebroadcast, They Found the Answer, a series presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to learn more, not only about the show, not only about the resources that are there, but also how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, one that can anchor your life and bring renewal and hope in ways that you never knew before. Go ahead and click the Get to Know Jesus tab when you go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, let's take in more of The Good Life with Egan Inouye. Egan, we talked about the platform that God has set up for you now. You know, sometimes we're building platforms, if we use that figurative term, we have a picture of foundations. But sometimes we don't realize that the foundations are built on some rubble because of things that happened in the past. Mm-hmm. How does that relate with you?
Well, you know, a lot of my things that I do, I did good in sports and athletics, you know, it all stemmed because of losing. And, you know, that's in the sports arena. When you take it into the business arena, you know, I had E-Force. I had a racket company called E-Force. It was, mm-hmm. you know, first year we did $1.2 million. Second year we did another $1.5 million. And, you know, I was right on my way to my plan, my own plan, where I was going to be retired at 30. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that never did happen. I lost the company a few years later due to a lot of different things, you know, not knowing enough about business, not, you know, paying attention to the books, a lot of different things. I was so involved in promoting and winning mm-hmm. that I left so many other things aside. And, you know, because of that, I was able to, you know, come back and I would start another business again. And, you know, just even till today, you know, 5 years ago, I started eStudio. And, you know, that just went bad too. And just in the last year, you know, I just about lost everything. And, you know, this time I have the faith and I have a relationship with God. And I just really feel that what I think the difference between the two times, the first time I took it really hard, this time I have the faith in God that, you know what, I really learned from it. God is telling me what I need to be doing. My whole focus all this time was making money, making money, making money. And finally, after this eStudio failed, I really sat down with myself, or actually Marcia and I sat down and we thought, what is it? You know, and we prayed on it, And we came up with, you know what? We need to help people. We need to use this to help people. And we kind of talked about it, but we really didn't believe in it. And I think after praying on it, sleeping on it, praying on it, sleeping on it, it kind of came to us. And, you know, Marcia actually said, hey, we should do boot camps. You can use all that knowledge you have in sports and training. You've probably had every injury there were. You saw all kinds of injuries. How do you prevent those? I mean, you know all of these things. You can help people like that. And so I thought, you know what, that's good. But I was kind of like, I don't want to do boot camp stuff. I mean, it was kind of like, you know, from teaching people how to fight to all of a sudden now doing like fitness, only fitness. And then, you know, I just, you know, just from all my prayers and all my beliefs, I just all of a sudden, again, had this real calmness in me. And I said, this is what I want to do. So waking up at 5 in the morning to go motivate people to hit their goals.
Yeah.
That drives me. That gives me more energy than, you know, like coffee or anything that I could possibly take. And for me now, it's like it's been so much fun in the last, you know, just starting this boot camp thing. It's been seeing changes in people. I can see how even when they just lose 5 pounds or they go 2 dress sizes down, it changes their whole perspective in life. I mean, when they start feeling good about each other and themselves, then they can turn it the other way too.
Yeah. Sounds like a convergence point. You know, all the collective experiences, quote unquote, good and bad. God, you know, there's a scripture that says my God is able to do it. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And then we all know, there's another verse in Romans, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It seems like in a very real way, this convergence point is happening. Take us to a boot camp. Give us a glimpse of what happens. How does a woman go two sizes smaller? Or how does a man have his waist size, you know, go a couple inches less? What happens?
So, you know, what happens with that is that we take him through a series of workouts. So we actually warm you up. We take you into a workout. And the workout's tough. It's not an easy thing. I mean, the first times that you come, you may only do a part of it and you take a rest. But my whole thing is, besides the hard workouts and the right technique, how you work out, I really believe that I really care. And I feel like Marcia, all of the instructors that I have, we really care about the people that walk in this room. So like for me, I like to know what each person's goal is. And I think to drop 2 dress sizes, to lose 40 pounds, everyone has to have a goal. A lot of people come walking into workout places and they say, oh, I need to lose weight. So I'll just, you know, with the strength of God, it's been real easy for me to walk up to people that come in and go, well, how much weight do you want to lose? Or like some people, oh, I don't want to go on the scale. I'm shame. I'm like, no. And before I would be like, oh, yeah, he's shame. Let's leave it. But they came to me because they want to lose weight because of either health issues or because, well, most of the time it's health issues. So I feel like it's my thing to tell them, well, you know what? We got to set a goal. Jump on that scale. I'm going to get depressed if I jump on that scale. Said, no, you got to jump on that scale because when I know where you are now, we know where you're going to go. And that's the only way you can get to your goal. And once I can break through there, then all the things happen. Like people lose, we have 2 guys that lost over 40 pounds in 3 months.
Wow.
And of course, diet is real important too, but I try to encourage people to keep their same eating patterns. Mm-hmm. And if they really want to lose quicker, bring in a food journal. And then I go over the foods with them, and I don't starve them. I say, okay, well, if you like to eat, like say, for example, one of the guys that lost 40 pounds, he likes to have his milk and Oreo cookies. Now, everyone knows to lose 40 pounds, you probably had to give that up. He didn't give it up. Mm. Right? So
but he lost the 40 pounds.
He lost the 40 pounds. He's at 43 pounds.
How did he
now.
Do it?
And I just changed it. I said, can you think maybe you can have your Oreos and milk after lunch instead of right before you go to bed? Mm. So little things like that I do. And of course, he was determined and he set his goal and we sat down and said, okay, this is how you're going to get there. And I break it down for, you know, little things. Same things that I learned playing racquetball, doing jujitsu, MMA, is I had to have this big goal and then break it down. And I think too many people that want to lose weight don't have those. They haven't set a goal. They kind of, oh, it'd be cool if I lost 40 pounds. But it's not like I need to lose 40 pounds and this is how I'm going to do it.
Sounds like when you set a goal, it has a galvanizing effect on you or on the person. You kind of have a laser focus and you determine to, everything sort of recalibrates in accordance with that goal. Mm-hmm. And then you can measure your success. And the thing is, Egan, you've been doing it all your life, you know? And so you're not talking theory. You've lived it. Mm-hmm. You live it. So people are not just learning from somebody who read a bunch of books or videos or is regurgitating information, but you know the nuances, really like a sensei that would know the nuances of how people might not even be able to ask those questions because they can't even see what exists. Mm-hmm. So it's deep, but you're available, you're accessible. Let's say somebody is listening and they say, I want to try, you know? How would I get in touch with Egan Inouye? How would somebody do that?
Well, you can, if you want to come and try, Saturday, lifeguard stand 1D at Ala Moana Center. That's the lifeguard stand closest to Magic Island side. I do a free boot camp at 8 a.m., so anyone's welcome. And what we do is I encourage people, if they can bring canned food or some kind of, because we have this trim the fat, feed the hungry.
Okay.
So
What's that about?
And basically, that's just, you know, trying to donate and give back. So and that's I'm always looking ways.
Kind of a way to get a little motivator because we've given something.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for me, it's like there's got to be some kind of commitment, some kind of buy-in.
Okay.
So, yes, I'm giving this boot camps for free, but I do ask, like, if we can help someone along the way. Because I'm willing to help you if we can turn it around and help other people. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what it's all about.
That's a great idea. Then what happens at the boot camp?
So at the boot camp, we go through some series of exercises and workouts. And I'll talk about technique as we're doing the workouts. You definitely get your heart rate jacked. You're going to come out super sweaty. Sometimes we work out only on the sand. Sometimes we also go in the water. If you don't like going in the water, I have other things for you to do while the other people are in the water.
Hmm. This is a great opportunity for you to really take advantage of as an opportunity from God. And of course, he has a way you to bring a, what, canned good?
Canned good.
Something.
Yeah.
Bring that can be passed on. You know, Egan, you just the whole process of your life has brought you to a place where there's a benevolence, a heart and spirit, somewhat like that of a philanthropist, where you're wanting to use these things for the betterment of just not yourself, but society. You know, the hand of God's blessing is greatly on you. You're also a motivational speaker. And when we come back, Egan, I'm wondering if, as you've shared your vision for the future, I'd be interested to hear what you would have to say to somebody who's got their back against the wall right now. Or maybe using a, you know, someone's got them in an arm bar and, you know, they don't want to tap out, but you know their shoulder muscles ligaments might just rip. That's how they're feeling. What would you say to somebody like that? I mean, that's kind of a man's kind of a rough term, but even ladies sometimes, in their delicate way, they're broken up inside. Maybe you can have a word of encouragement a word of inspiration for them. When we come back, Egan and Oi will speak heart to heart, as we have been, but go deeper. What to do in a time of difficulty. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. This is a special rebroadcast presented by The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, in a series entitled, They Found the Answer. Our featured guest is Egan Inouye. If you're asking, how can I have a relationship with Jesus? Go ahead and visit thegoodlifehawaii.org as we talk about the Lord, and we talk about how God has made a difference. Even in Egan's life, you might be wondering, how can you experience that too? Thegoodlifehawaii.org. When you go there, click the Get to Know Jesus tab. We have more resources too. Now, here's more with Egan Inouye. Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Egan Inouye. Egan, the renowned mixed martial arts champion, a businessman, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and the owner of Egan's Training Center. He's providing opportunities for people to really improve their lives. And he's been with us sharing heart to heart. In fact, you know what? While we're going on, you're probably thinking, geez, my son needs to hear this, or my nephew, my uncle needs to hear this show, or someone is being brought to your mind that you think will relate well with him and with Egan and will be encouraged and inspired by what he shared. And of course, you know, he hasn't just shared all the great stuff, but the stuff behind the scenes and how God has helped him in his life. And you know what? By sharing that with somebody, you're giving someone else hope. Have them go to www.thegoodlifehawaii.org and they can access this program 24/7. Now, of course, if you want to get in touch with Egan directly, you can do so at eganinouye.com. Eganinouye.com. Now, you've been doing motivational speaking, you do it on a corporate level. What are some places that you've spoken at, and what are some of the topics that you've shared?
Just recently, I spoke at the Realtors up at Treetops. Mm-hmm. That was just 2 days ago. So, you know, there was about over 124 people. Mm-hmm. I counted 124 seats, so yeah, I know there's at least that.
Yeah.
It was all full. Okay. But yeah, you know, the topics that I usually talk about, like this last one was, it's all in your mind. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a big believer in that. And it's a funny how we came to that name, because a lot of times while I'm working out, or people, you know, when you go through parts of the workout where it's really sore, not that sore like injury-wise, but just like you cannot breathe and you're gasping for mm-hmm. air, your muscles is screaming for oxygen. Mm-hmm. And I always say it's all in your mind. Pain's always only in your mind. And I never really understood that whole thing. But a lot of times when you're going through pain, if it's not like an injury type of pain where you're going to be hurt, and you know that it's just muscle burning, and you can, you know, all it is a matter of you just toughening it up and keep going through, you can go through it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the same thing as if you have a faith, if you have a relationship with God, it's the same thing. No matter how the hard times you're going through, if you believe in God and you have a good relationship with Him, you're going to make it through, and you can push through, and you can endure, and you can keep pushing. And I mean, I've been in so many bad places in my life, not bad in like illegal type, but just like, for example, in a criminal trial, I've lost my company, my $1 million company. I lost my dream. Mm-hmm. I started up E-Studio, beautiful place. I borrowed a lot of money to start it up, lost all of that. And, you know, it's like, it just doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. I mean, I see my bills for my divorce. It's like, it's ridiculous. I spent almost $400,000 fighting for my children. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't stop there. I mean, then everything else. And that's why, you know, for my life, a lot of people go, wow, Egan's this world champ. He's got this, he's this, he's this. Oh, how he's a lucky guy. But, you know, part of being lucky is you have to be prepared for the success too. So with all of the losing and all the things that I've lost and I haven't achieved, I mean, you know, not achieved, but things that failed in my life, mm-hmm. with the faith of God, you know, it gives you that strength to just, you know, get up again and go again. Kind of like fighting in the ring. If you get hit once and it hurt and you fall down and you quit, then you'll never be a champion. Mm. You get how many times you can stand back up, no matter how many times you got hit with a negative thing, a blow, or a hit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's, for me, that's the key. That's the thing I like to push to people or stress to people in the boot camps. You're going to be failing. You're going to feel like you can't go on anymore. And that's okay, as long as you keep coming back. And I think that's the whole key of this whole, you know, for me. And that's what drives me. And that's a lot of my motivational talks. That's what I talk about.
You know, the Lord reminds us today. I'm looking at Egan Inouye. Sometimes I wish that you could also be with me in studio to see my guests and their expressions and their passion and their love. I can tell he is, you know, you've been touched by God's love. It's the love of God that motivates you to care for others. And the Lord's return is immense. Interestingly, yeah, when we take our eyes off of the quote-unquote prize of the dinero, you know, but put it in the right perspective, and God, and it's like God can take care of those things. Not to minimize anybody's burden from the standpoint of just being oversimplistic about things. But, you know, there's a tomorrow. And for you, as you listen to our show today, it might be tough. We don't minimize it in any way. It's tough. But with God's help, He can carry you through. He's carried my friend Egan Inouye through. He's carried me personally through some real rough stuff too. And I guess maybe, Egan, we're just here to testify that as God can do it in us, He can do it in them.
That's right.
One parting shot. Let's say somebody has big dreams and things aren't materializing. What would you say about, what about somebody that hasn't dared yet to dream? What would you say to somebody like that?
You know, the first thing you have to do is you got to dare to dream. And, you know, like from my senior quote that I had is, if your mind can conceive it, that's like having that dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then your heart can believe it, then you will achieve it. And I always believe that if you don't have that dream, it's like not having a goal.
Hmm.
You got to take that chance and make that goal and set that dream and dream. And the only way you can, you know, accomplish anything is you got to dream. When I wanted to be a world champ, that was kind of a joke coming from Hawaii that I was going to be a world champ in racquetball.
Yeah.
So, you know,
recorded show featuring Egan Inouye. If you'd like to learn more about our show or need prayer or want to discover how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. I also have a list of partner churches and partner businesses who are able to help meet your needs. Psalm 145 verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Egan Inouye. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.